like you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's probably my favorite place to preach from in the Word. Today we're going to honor high school graduates. The Bible says to give honor where honor's due. And that's a marked time in someone's life. They've finished that particular aspect of the training of their life and moving on to other things, possibly more schooling, possibly into the military, the work field, or what have you. But it's a marked time, and it's worthy of honor, but also encouragement there. Much encouragement's needed. But Hebrews 12:1 says, by the way, at the end, I want to pray for all the graduates then as well. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us." Now here he's likening our life on the earth as running a race, And a race has a beginning and an end, a start and a finish. You don't just run for the sake of running, run around circles. But there's a beginning and an end. And the beginning with us, there's the beginning of the race for our life is coming to know Jesus Christ, because God the Father has a plan for us. He has blessings he wants to bring into our life. He wants to use us and through us to express himself and to be glorified. So your life is like running a race, a beginning and an end. So I'll just say that. So as an athlete, they train for finishing the race. They train to win. If there's no understood objective, what are you training for? How would you know? If someone's running a marathon, which is 26 miles, that training would be a little different than a sprint, like a 100-yard dash. Would be very, very different, because you just train for that short burst on a 100-yard dash, but to run a marathon, you got to train your muscles, your lungs, your heart, and everything to go such a long distance. So we have a race, which is our whole lifetime. God has a plan for us, and the end of that is when we are received up by the Lord Jesus. And my goal in life is to finish the race and to stand before the Lord, hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." That's my goal on earth. Now, you can set all kinds of goals, but that's my ultimate goal, to stand before him in that manner. So we have this race before us, and we need to be very, very determined to be a finisher. Jesus spoke back in the Gospel of John, "I finished the race. I finished the work the Father had for me to do." The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, that he's finished his course. He fought the fight. He ran his race. He says, "It's soon time for me to be offered up." Now, the reason we stay on this earth is to finish the will of God, and because of the people that it's been ordained for you to put into, or for love's sake. And Paul reached a certain point where he didn't know, well, is it time to go or time to stay? Well, love says stay a little bit longer. So, you know, he was weighing this out. But once all the will of God is complete, there's not really a reason to stay here unless you're loving this world more than him, because heaven's so much better. And you'll know, and I believe you can be received up, taken up. It's very few people you hear go out that way, but I've known some, like Brother Raj in Paris. He visited Brother Israel in India. He was from India, of course. And before he left their place, Israel's telling me he was weeping the whole way down these flights of stairs. And I said, he knew he wasn't going to see you again. It was his last time. and he went back home, and he knew he was going to die when the Lord was going to take him up on New Year's Eve. He actually wrote out his message, and during worship, his goal, he wanted to exit this world worshiping in the church. He expressed that to Israel, and it was, and the other people thought, oh, he just was slain in the spirit or something. Yeah, because it was during worship, and he was gone. He was just taken up. And I've heard other testimonies, but just someone that I know, that you complete the will of God, and it's time to go, time to go. Praise God. We have it better than bankers. You know, bankers like win-win. They win if you pay them off, and they win if you don't pay them, because they'll take everything you have. But we have win-win with Jesus. You win while you're here experiencing the presence of God, and we win when we leave and go to heaven. It's win-win for us. And with that, there's great peace and joy to be had, to be received, to be partaken of. Okay, so we run this race with patience, or in the Greek, it means perseverance. You persevere. You let nothing stop you. You're going to move toward your goal no matter what. And I like to give the illustration of one of the German shepherds we had, you know, to that point. It was about the 1st of March, and it was snow on the ground. It was cold. And I let her out back in our fenced-in yard, and they're sight dogs. I mean, they got the ears, the smell, and the eyes. I saw her staring down the end of the yard. It's about 150 feet, I'd say. And her eyes were locked, and I knew she's locked on to something. You know, like a missile that's locked in on. And I looked down, I saw the neighbor's chicken come into my yard under the fence. And I went to yell for her to come. It's too late. She was locked in. And she runs a straight line for that chicken. And between her and the chickens are a goldfish pond. And that was about 9 feet across, 20 feet long, 3 feet deep. And she tries to jump the goldfish pond because she's going after that chicken. Well, she landed about halfway into the pond, springs out of this ice-cold water, still going a full-bore run, going down through. Well, between her and the chicken house, berry bushes. You have thorns and stuff on. She goes right through the berry bushes. She didn't feel a thing because all she could see was that chicken. So when I grow up, I want to be like my dogs. To have my eyes so fixed on Jesus, so fixed on the goal, that no matter what I go through, I'll not be stopped. Brother Ed Cole shared once, a victorious, more than conqueror man doesn't look what he's going through, but what he's going to. And we have to be so fixed on that, because sometimes we're going to encounter pain, sorrow, attacks, hardship, all kinds of things. And we've got to have our eyes fixed on him. Now he says here how to run this race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to keep our eyes on him. Or in particular, we can't let ourselves get our eyes on people. People, I don't care, the greatest person could let you down. Anyone could let you down. Anyone could disappoint. Anyone could offend. Sometimes you offend and you don't even know you did it. What's your problem? You offended them, you don't even know what. And for us, these things are around us all the time. And Satan will use the people closest to you to try to trip you up because you're expecting loyalty or support, and maybe they're distracted by something, or they're not able to. You can't give any more than you have. God doesn't expect you to give any more than you have. But sometimes we expect from people and they don't have it to give to us. But God's more than enough for us at all times. So we discipline ourselves not to put our eyes on people. All kinds of hurts are going to come your way when your eyes are on people. All kinds of offense, disappointment. But our eyes must stay on Jesus, who does not disappoint. We always have hope with him. And he finished the Father's course for himself because of the joy set before him. He endured the cross. The Father's will was the cross. He had to die and shed his blood to pay for our sin, which had destined us for hell. We're all destined for hell. But in his love and mercy, he shed his blood to redeem us. And all that he went through, he wasn't skipping up the lane carrying a cross. He had great sorrow, great pain. But for the joy set before him, the joy was that the offering of his life would birth new life, would birth a family of God. And for him, it was worth it all. Whenever I come to that part, I like to illustrate in this way that a woman has a child, and you know, before you have that first child, you hear the war stories. You ladies know what I'm talking about there. Somebody's going to be a real blessing and tell their pregnancy war stories, their birth war stories. And I don't know if it's like that so much anymore because of epidural for pain. But the natural childbirth can be quite painful. In that transition time's the worst time. You know, the transitioning into the birth, and sometimes you'll hear stories where the wife wants to punch her husband out in a birthing room, and because there's not enough oxygen going to her brain and shorten out a little bit. But for the joy set before him, and you come along, and there's that new life. And that new life's so wonderful, it's worth it all. When I'm on a mission field, I'll tell that sometimes, and I'll ask, how many of you have more than one child? Hands go up. So what's wrong with you? You went through all that pain, and you did it again. Why? Because that new life was worth it all. Was worth all the pain. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? It was worth it, wasn't it? That new life, that life you began to hold and nurse and raise up, it's worth it all. That's how it was for Jesus, times about a billion. You know, where the whole body of Christ is being birthed. Here he was, who knew no sin, being tormented because of our sin, our rebellion. In that alone, we know the love of God, how great it is. There's nothing to compare to that. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. There are times we can begin to be weary and get faint with all we're going through. But we have to consider Jesus. He went the whole way through it all, to hell and back, to raise us up, to bring us into that newness of life. Now he goes on here and exhorts them, don't forget the exhortation not to despise the chastening of the Lord or faint when you're rebuked of him. Now this goes along with that. If we're going to finish the race and serve God to the end, first we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. There needs to be a determination to finish the will of God. But then we're going to have to make corrections. It's like when you came here in your car, you sped up, you slowed down, you turn left, you turn right. If you just started going 50 miles an hour and never turned the wheel, you would have crashed. We all need corrections in our life. And that is the love of God as well. He goes on to say that whom he loves, he chastens. Or he brings correction to you so you don't shipwreck or car wreck, as we would have it, but to keep us on course. We need to learn to appreciate that, especially those of you, you know, moving on in your that are graduates and moving on to the next phase of life. You know, when you're little, you get lots of correction. There's not a day goes by, it seems, that you're not getting corrected, right, when you're little. And you begin to learn of what's expected and how to handle yourself. And the corrections get less and less. But every now and then, you need a correction. It might be an attitude. It might be a decision. Could be whatever. But if we position ourselves to never hear or receive any more correction, then our destiny is a crash. Because we're not capable of seeing and knowing everything by ourselves. And sometimes other people can see a perspective that's a little different than you and speak into our life. We all need someone that can speak into our life. I value greatly those that God has positioned to speak into my life. And there's times I'll ask and say, hey, what do you see relative to this situation? You're in a marriage, ideally you should have that. Don and I will correct each other anytime and every time because we love the truth and Jesus more than we love the other person. You know, when you begin to love a person more than him, you might not do what you should do so you don't offend them. But when you love the truth, you know, only the truth's going to set them free. Only the truth's going to steer them in a right path. Now, you have to be wise. You don't just hammer people. But when you have that kind of relationship, you can say, you know, your attitude's not right right now. And it's like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. We all need that. If you don't think you need that, you're very much deceived. So praise God we have that. Those of you, however your transition is going forward, value your parents' input where that still might come up at times. Value what's been given and what may come again in the future. Don't be insulted by it. We all need some correction. That's the love of God. Well, God wants you to continue on in that course. So we continue to discipline ourselves, keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep before us the goal and the end, because you can easily get to a point where you say, all I'm going through is not worth it. It is worth it if you know what you're going to. And I want you to know this, that God will not leave or forsake you. He's always there to lift you up. If you fall down, maybe I should say when, because the time comes, any of us may fall at times, one way or another. We may come up short. And actually, the more you're walking according to what you know, the more it bothers you when you do. Because you don't want to do wrong. You don't want to hurt anyone. You don't want any of that. But he'll lift you up. He's faithful. To remember the faithfulness of God, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll always be with you to lift you up. And sometimes it's just purely the prayers of other people. I'll just make a point of reference. As long as it's been now, about a month. I wasn't sure if I was dead or alive a couple times. The hospital had like serious infection, and these drugs were making me out of my mind. I couldn't even think. Had no faith. And Donna put out a call for urgent prayer. And the power of God was released and raised me out of that. And she talked to the doctor and nurses. They said, we thought he was gone. Isn't that what they said? We thought we lost him. Thought he was gone. Never seen anything like it, my interpretation. I thought I was gone. A couple times, am I dead or am I alive? I don't know. and hallucinating and everything else. And the presence of God came in because of the prayers of the saints. And I was like, back in my right mind, back in my body. And I'm believing God for full healing. I shall stand and I shall walk. I'm determined with that. But you understand, there's a determination to serve to the end. See, that's necessary. Because God can do things above and beyond the miraculous. Why does that seem to be work in some people's lives and maybe not in others? If I'm living for His will to the end, then I can believe God for whatever it takes to get me there. Whether it's a miracle, healing, encouragement, a friend by your side, whatever it takes. I'm convinced of that. He wants me to be a finisher. Jesus is a finisher. And whatever it takes, he'll provide that. And it may not even be because I'm doing everything right or praying or whatever. It could be because you're praying. That's wonderful to know. And that encourages to pray one for another. And to never give up. We need a mindset to never quit. When we had our high school boys basketball, I was coaching it. We played all these bigger schools, which means they're going to have more athletes. You're probably going to get thrashed. So it could be 46-10, starting the fourth quarter. I tell the guys, I set a goal to win the fourth quarter. I don't care if it's their second string. You go out with a goal. You do your best to the end. Of course, I'd throw a little incentive in there and say, if you do that, I'll take you out for pizza. Yeah, you got to encourage boys where they feel it, you know, in their belly. But anyway, never quit. Never quit. You might fall down. You might get knocked down. You never quit. You get back up again. There's a movie. Always has like a spiritual significance to me, and that's the Terminator. Terminator was sent on a mission to destroy the guy who saved the world or whatever, but he was getting crushed and everything else, and he wouldn't stop. And at one point, he says, this is Schwarzenegger, my best Schwarzenegger voice, I'll be back. That's my mantra here. I'll be back. No quit. I'll be back. If I got to crawl in here, I'll be back. And Jesus is faithful, and the Lord will raise us up. Hallelujah. So whatever you're going through, there's a way out. There's a way above. If you need an answer, there's answers in Christ. There's wisdom. There's strength. There's power. Whatever you would need. When Jesus said, I am the I am. I'll be whatever you need me to be. What do you need from him today? He'll be that to you. I want to share a video right now. I played this once about 5-6 years ago. I've never watched this and not begin to weep. So powerful. But just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. God is with you. He is faithful. And he will lift you up. It's a powerful thing. You could get on YouTube and see it with the music again if you like. Father's watching you every step of the way. And he'll lift you up if you fall. There's an answer to every problem. I want to pray a prayer of faith right now. Whatever you need from him. Just by faith, reach out and lay hold of it. Father, we thank you. Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. We thank you for the power of God that dwells within us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. Lord, whatever we need by faith, we call it done. Call it into our life by faith right now, Father. Father, those who are dealing with hurts and pains and sorrows, Lord, there's times, there's things only you can touch and heal. No words of man can ever ease the pain. But Lord, we know you can touch the very depths, the crevices of our heart and bring forth healing. We thank you for it, Father. Father, give us the heart to be finishers. Lord, use the example of this athlete, but most of all, the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to finish the plan of the Father. And we thank you, Lord, we're not alone in that. Thank you for it, Father. Amen, amen. Okay, at this point, I'd like the high school graduates to just come up here and stand where you can here. We want to pray for you. You know, in particular, that you know the will of God for your life. That the decisions you're going to make be with the wisdom of God. Because you're a place of making decisions for direction you're going to go with your life. Really important. Could be times it's exciting, times it's scary. And keep Jesus first. That's the key thing. He'll guide you. And if you do make a mistake, you don't have to be afraid of mistakes if your heart's right. He'll lift you out of it. If you live afraid of mistakes, you'll never do anything in life. Don't be afraid, but stay teachable. Father, I just pray for the graduates right now. Precious in your sight. Father, encourage them. Lord, and to know the work they put in and all they've gone through is all in purpose to help prepare them for the future, but much, much, much more is to come in terms of preparation, spirit, soul, and body. And I thank you, Father God, that you're taking them step by step, one step at a time. Help each one to see clearly the next step before them. To see it clearly, Lord God. May they have a confidence. Help them, Lord, to hear the witness of the Spirit as to the decisions they would make, that they have complete peace with their decisions. Lord, if there's any mistakes, we thank you, Lord. You are faithful to lift us up out of it, to open our eyes to see, that we can see clearly, Lord, and keep moving forward in our life. Father, may each and every one of them know they are important, they have great value in the kingdom of God, and that they are loved. Lord, if there be any sorrows from broken relationships, may restoration and healing come, that they can rise above the things that would try to hold them down or bind them to the past. But Lord, to be free moving forward in you. And I thank you, Lord God. Bring great encouragement to each one, even with dreams and visions. Great encouragement, Father. We thank you for it. Bless them, Lord, in all they put their hand to. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give you a little exhortation. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take anyone for granted. To have that great cloud of witnesses, as it mentions in Hebrews 12, one's very precious. Something I don't think I mentioned sharing that. We all need a lot of encouragement. You never get too old to be encouraged. When you're little, you need a lot of encouragement because you mess up a lot. The older you get, you still need encouragement. And what happens as you move on in your life, the challenges to bigger and bigger things. So you need even more encouragement as you go. Hallelujah.